Game of Thrones was filmed in my hometown. Never watched it. Am I missing out? Also, call my hometown King's Landing, and you will get to know me quick.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're looking back at the six games from Tuesday and previewing a 10-game slate across the league for Wednesday. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Let's start where we always do on these shows by looking at
Monstrous Line of the Night.
The monstrous line of the night for Tuesday goes to Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Only the 30 minutes for Towns, but he had 41 points with 14 rebounds. He hit three threes, he had two steals, he was 15 of 27 from the field and 8 of 10 from the free throw line. Been an absolute monster since returning from his concussion. In fact, over the last 2 months, Towns is the number two overall player in fantasy basketball, averaging 28 and 12 and a half, almost four assists, 1.5 blocks, a steal, 57 and 83. And you could very easily see a situation if he could ever get to two blocks a game where he could challenge for that number one spot. I know James Harden's been so far ahead of everyone, but in a normal season where Harden isn't averaging 78 points and 24 rebounds and 28 assists, whatever bullshit numbers he's putting up, Towns could be challenging for that guy. A real chance that for the rest of the season he could be that number two player. And again, since the All-Star break, since the All-Star break slash since he returned from his injury, look at these games. 34 and 21, 37 and 18, 42 and 17, 28, 10 and 7, and then 41 and 14. That is just a ludicrous collection of performances from Towns. Really, really crazy sort of numbers that he's been putting up in that time on 60% shooting. And the only thing holding him back from being that number one guy in that time frame is the fact that he's only 71% from the free throw line. Really, really strong stuff from Karl Anthony Towns, who is your monstrous line of the night for Tuesday. The next one we look at,
waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night is D'Lon Wright of the Memphis Grizzlies. You know I really like D'Lon as a player. He played 26 minutes here, 25 points with a 3, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals and a block. Now the 69% shooting,
giggity,
is not going to continue. The 6 of 7 from the line is probably an elevated amount of attempts. I just want them to just let him loose, so to speak, play him 30 minutes. I don't need to see literally any minutes at all from Justin Holiday. I don't need to see 34 minutes from Avery Bradley. They should be seeing what Wright can give them. He's a must-roster 14-team league guy. And he is available in 90% of Yahoo League. So in every 14-team league, D'Lon Wright needs to be rostered. I think he can have 12-team league value. He's more of a roto contributor because of his ability to contribute, you know, solid numbers right across the board without having massive standout categories. And he can be a 12-team league guy. And if Mike Conley happens to miss any sort of time here down the stretch, or they decide to rest Avery Bradley, or they decide to, hey, let's just see what D'Lon can do. Can he be this guy who can be a part of our future? Then he's going to be able to push into the top 100. So I really like what D'Lon did. A clear must add in any 14-team league or deeper, and on the fringes of 12-team league, especially if you need some help and with steals, he can be that guy that does help you in those areas. But strong performances right across the board from D'Lon Wright. The deep leaguer of the night is Amir Johnson of the Philadelphia 76ers with Jonah Bolden, Joel Embiid, and Boban Marjanovic out. Amir was able to take advantage of that. He started and played 20 minutes, 13 and 5, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 5 of 9 from the field. Of course, when Bolden comes back, there's every chance that Amir doesn't even play at all. So this is just a, you know, maybe look to stream him on Wednesday. But there's 10 games on Wednesday, so even if Bolden is out, is Amir Johnson actually an option even in a 20-team league? I'm going to say probably not, and he's a guy that just isn't going to play most nights from here on out. So a good performance from him, strong if you manage to stream him in just for this day's action, but apart from that, I don't really see any long-term value in Amir Johnson.
Young Gun of the Night.
The Young Gun of the Night is Johnson's teammate. It's Benny Simmons, who's been putting up some pretty strong numbers since Embiid has been out. 40 minutes, 16, 13, and 8. Two steals and a block. Surprisingly poor from the field and good from the line. 6 of 15 from the field and 4 of 5 from the free throw line. If only we could get 80% free throw shooting from Benny Simmons, we'd have a really strong top 20 type of a guy on our hands. The last 6 games, he's averaging 19, 11, and 8 with 1.5 steals, almost a block on 53% from the field with those free throws up to 67, which does mitigate a lot of the downside from Simmons. He has stepped up pretty considerably with Embiid down. The efficiency hasn't really taken a hit. In fact, as I said, it has gone up with those free throws. With the free throws going up, the field goal percentage has been a bit of a dip. But the numbers overall from Simmons are really strong. And in the correct build, he's a top 20 type of a player. And that would obviously be something that could happen in more leagues if that free throw percentage would come up, which I'm not overly confident it's ever going to get to, say, 75 or 76. But I think he can have seasons of say, low 70, 70, 71. That sort of mark, similar to a Gianni Antetokounmpo in that sort of a realm of free throw percentage shooting. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night is Marc Gasol of the Toronto Raptors. I think we're going to be in for a bit of a frustrating situation here in Toronto. Only 18 minutes for Gasol as he came off the bench behind Serge Ibaka. 8 points with 1 rebound, no other stats at all. This is coming on the back of 2 pretty strong games where he'd played 32 and 38 minutes, and we look like he'd established himself as that starting center, but matchups probably dictated him going to the bench against Houston. He started those big minutes against Yusuf Nurkic of Portland. He started those minutes against Andre Drummond of Detroit. And the 2 games, the bookending, that was against Al Horford and against Clint Capela. Different types of centers, not necessarily those big, strong centers. So you can see Nick Nurse using Gasol similarly to how he used Valanciunas, although you'd expect Gasol to have more starts than JV. We're not in the spot to drop Marc Gasol just at this point, but if we get a few of these games in a row of these low minutes, then you have to consider that. But he has lost an absolute shit ton of value. He was the 41st, or he is the 41st ranked player over the course of the season, but since joining Toronto, really struggling to maintain a hold on the top 100. Again, we saw those last couple of games be a real step in the right direction. But then today's one really shit on that, and it was quite disappointing. So I could see realistically a situation where we are dropping Gasol. I'm not quite there yet. In a 10-team league, in an 8-team league, I would. In a 10-teamer, I'm still holding just at this point until we can get some more clarification to see what happens in the next game. The plus-minus goats. Al Horford had the best net rating, plus 88 in the Celtics' demolition of the Warriors, while Justin Holiday was trash for the Grizzlies, negative 108.1, and there is no reason that he should be rostered in any 12 or 14 or probably 16 team leagues with how piss poor he has been of late. Injury news, Kyle Anderson is having an injection in his shoulder. He will be reevaluated again in 2 weeks. The injury reporting on this has been entirely frustrating. So I'd imagine we don't see him again this season. He's a pretty clear drop. He already was a drop. I think I mentioned that a week or 10 days ago around that time frame. If you needed any sort of push in that direction, you move on from Kyle Anderson. It's going to solidify Justin Holiday's minutes, but as I just mentioned, he's terrible, and we shouldn't be looking at him as any sort of 12-team type value. Domantas Sabonis missed another game today. He'll be out again on Thursday with that ankle injury. Okwin's not really stepping into the role we hoped he would. He's splitting some of that time with TJ Leaf, so no real adds in anything outside of, say, 18 or 20-team leagues. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, he will be out on Wednesday. MRIs and x-rays on his ankle were negative, but the Lakers do expect him to miss about a week with that injury. That could give a bit of a life to JaVale McGee, who, again, Kuzma had been playing some of that small ball center. It should also help Reggie Bullock as well, and deeper leagues maybe look at someone like Tyson Chandler, but probably not too interested in him. While Sean Livingston was a weird late scratch from the Warriors today, no word of an injury until about halfway through the second quarter, and then they said, nah, he's not going to play today with neck issues, but he is not a fantasy option realistically in any sort of format. Let's move on now to have a look at these 6 games from Tuesday, have a look at what did go down and see what sort of information we can get out of those games. The first game we take a look at, the Orlando Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers win 114-106. Johnny Isaac, a really strong bounce back game. 16-5 with 4 triples and a block, remains a must roster guy, while Evan Fournier, 25 with 5 threes, 2 assists and a steal. He's been very disappointing this season, Fournier. That's obviously a really strong performance there from him. I don't know if he's a must roster 10 team league player, but he is pretty strong for 12s. Aaron Gordon had 24-9, while Nikola Vucevic had 12-12, one of his worst performances in recent memory. With Terrence Ross out, we had Isaiah Briscoe play some extra minutes. He was seeing the court alongside DJ Augustin, and Jarrell Martin was also brought into the rotation. 7-1-4 for Briscoe, still just a deep league guy. For the Sixers, Tobias Harris's really strong run without Embiid continued. 21-12 with 5 assists, 2 steals and a block. If your trade deadline is still active, if you can finagle your way to get top 25 value back in a trade for Toby Harris, I'd be doing that. JJ Redick had been quiet lately, but got back on track against his former team, which he always seems to do. 26 points, 6 triples with 5 rebounds, and Butler was pretty quiet early on, but a strong fourth quarter, 14-2-4 with 3 threes on a 16% usage, pretty low there. Prison Mike had 11 points in 28 minutes with 3 threes. He's just a 3-point streamer, while Embiid and Jonah Bolden remain sidelined. Also, Justin Patton, the general, he got into the game, had 1 point, 4 rebounds and 3 assists, but at this point, it's just good to see Patton back on the court after missing basically all of his first 2 seasons in the NBA. The next game we look at, the Chicago Bulls, they lost to the Indiana Pacers. Robin Lopez was big, 20-9 with 3 blocks. He also had an extraordinarily large usage, 26 points, second on the team in shot attempts behind LaVine. That should literally never happen, but he did play well, and he is a 12-team league guy. Otto Porter only had 7 points. But a large portion of his appeal is that if that doesn't happen, if the scoring's not there, then he can do other things. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. The 27%'s not likely from him. He is a better shooter than that, but at least supplementing it with other things. Well, Chris Dunn was dreadful offensively, 5 points on 9 shots, but again, he can help in other areas. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Still is a 12-team league guy, but as I've said multiple times, he is not a long-term answer as a starting point guard. And in dynasty leagues, if you can get any top 100 value back for Dunn, I would do it. Wasn't the best Lauri Markkanen night, 14 points on 14 shots with 13 boards. Some weird usage from Jim Boylan in terms of how they utilized him. Hopefully that rectifies itself. While LaVine had 27 points on 22 shots. No defensive numbers. A little bit of a disappointing night from LaVine, but not a complete write-off. Very little else happening there with the Bulls. For the Pacers, Bojan Bogdanovic's great season continued. 27-6 with 2 steals. Really upped his game, and his efficiency this season has been unbelievable. 64% shooting in this game. Miles Turner probably would have liked for some of that efficiency. He shot 27% for 10 points, but when you get 11 rebounds and 7 blocks, you're pretty bloody happy with what Turner's bringing. Daz Collison had 22-4-2 with 2 steals. Still floating on some waiver wise. He's a clear must-roster 10-team league guy, while Thaddeus Young had 11-10-6. And Wesley Matthews had 10 points with 4 assists and 2 triples. A nice 14-team league guy, and just your periodical streamer, while Tyreke Evans' season from hell continued, and he played under 14 minutes. Just been an absolute disaster for him. The Rockets, they get the victory over the Raptors in Toronto. Jimmy Harden had 35 points with 3 threes, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Shot 30 times for just 12 points to 12 makes, but still decent enough game. Well, Gerald Green had his monthly get-hot game, 18 points with 4 triples. With Kenneth Faried out, he saw a little bit of extra playing time. Realistically, just a deep league streamer. Chrissy Paul, just the 31 minutes. Mike D'Antoni made a curious comment that they limited his minutes because they thought the court was a little bit slick and they didn't want to take any risks with Paul. So that's why his minutes were down. He also shot 1 of 10, but 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 steals, providing that value. While Capella still can't really get it going. 9-15 in his 34 minutes, and Eric Gordon struggled for 13 points. For the Raptors, with Gasol on the bench, Ibaka started, had 10 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 blocks. The 5 blocks are season high for Serge. Again, like Gasol, pretty much the same thing. We can't trust him on a nightly basis. He'd been playing under 20 minutes the last couple of games. You're probably a real fringe 10-team league guy at this point, while the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard, returned.
I'm a fun guy.
26 and 6 for Kawhi wasn't his best game, but still pretty strong. While Siakam had 17 and 10, and Kyle Lowry was terrible. 8 points on 16 shots with 6 assists. A really bad game. And Jeremy Lin has been absolutely trash in Toronto. Only the 11 minutes for Linny, and Norman Powell has fallen into a huge, huge hole. The Portland Trailblazers lose to the Memphis Grizzlies 120-111. CJ McCollum continued his streak of playing very well against Memphis with 27 points on 69% shooting.
Giggity!
3 triples and a block, while Nurkic only the 6 points, but 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks in 31 minutes. That meant that Kanter played only 17. Nobody listening to this is still holding on to Enes Kanter. Surely, in any 12-team formats, he can go. Evan Turner did return, and Jake Layman was under 20 minutes again. Layman had that nice little stretch, but he was nothing more than a deep league streamer. Well, Mo Harkless, got to talk about him. 20 points in 32 minutes for Mo. 6 rebounds, a triple one on 69% shooting.
Giggity!
Didn't shoot the free throws, only 1 of 2. I think at this point we have to look at him as a must consider, a new term that I'm just bringing into the lexicon. You've got to consider him. Can he work on your 12-team league? Now, 20 points, 13 shots, 69% shooting, not realistic. But he can rebound, he can hit some threes, he can get some steals, he can block some shots. He's a triple one type of a guy. And with how he's playing, the minutes are up. He is a 12-team league guy for the right team under the right circumstance. So have a look, see if it makes sense, and you've got to consider him an option, no doubt about that. The Chief Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
7-1-1 with 2 steals. Yeah, he's absolutely on the fringes. Mike Conley was excellent. 35 minutes for Conley, 40 points, 6 triples, 4 assists and a steal. He left the game with an ankle injury, returned, and was unbelievable in that fourth quarter. While Joakim Noah, 27 minutes with Jonas Valanciunas struggling, 17 points for Valanciunas, but Noah played 27 minutes. That's what you want to do. You always want to try and build around an aging Joakim Noah. 9, 10, and 7 for him, while Valanciunas had the 17, and Avery Bradley's good form did not continue. 14 points on 14 shots, 3 threes, 3 assists, and 2 steals. He had been putting up good numbers. I had my doubts about his assist rate and his field goal percentage sustaining. They didn't. You still can hold him in 12s, but I don't think that all of a sudden these 5 or 6 games that he's played well in Memphis means that the last 2 years are an absolute mirage. He still is getting minutes, too many in my opinion, and you can still hold him, but I would expect something of a drop-off. Speaking of drop-off, Justin Holiday had 2 steals and 0 points, and those 2 second-round picks that Memphis are sending look like one of the biggest overpays of the season. While Bruno Caboclo lost minutes with Ivan Rabb returning, Rabb had just the 2 points and 8 rebounds. Not an option in many leagues outside of the deeper ones. His old Ivan, unfortunately, after he had that, looked like he had that starting job his for a while and then lost it. The next game, the Oklahoma City Thunder lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves 131-120. Westbrook had 38, 13, and 6. And Paul George, who was ruled out yesterday, actually played 25 and 5 with 4 triples. Shot the ball just horrendously, 32% on 25 attempts, but he will be better than that. Well, Dennis Schroeder played 29 minutes, had 14, 4, and 5. A strong performance from him. I'm not sure that he's a must-roster 12-team league guy, but those sort of performances would render him a 12-team player. I just don't think that that's a realistic thing for him to continue on. It helped that Terrence Ferguson had 5 fouls in 16 minutes, and that enabled Schroeder to get that extra playing time. Nerlens Noel's minutes have really, really tumbled off, 6 points in 10 minutes since the arrival of Markieff Morris. For the Wolves, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
16, 5, and 12 with a triple one. Shot the ball really well. 5 of 7 from the field. Had really struggled a little bit since coming back from that ankle injury, but a clear must-roster guy. While Wiggins had 18, 6, and 3, while Dario Saric had 10 and 7 and remains a 14, maybe 16-team league player. Derrick Rose said he's still dealing with ankle issues, and that's why he's struggling. 19 points in 20 minutes. I think in a 10-team league, we don't worry about him. In a 12-teamer, he's absolutely on the fringes as a stream guy if you really need points. While Okogie started once more, and we're going to have Bob Cove back pretty soon, and Okogie's value, as limited as it is going to be reduced even further with that. The last game of the day for Tuesday was the Celtics smashing the Warriors 128-95. Not a lot to talk about, but we've got to mention Gordon Hayward, who had 30 points on just 16 shots with 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. He has been routinely putrid when Kyrie Irving has been playing. This was probably the first time, or maybe the second time, he's had a big game. I am not overreacting and adding Haywood based on this performance. I'd like to see it a couple more times before I waste a potentially valuable waiver move or roster spot on Haywood. Irving had 19, 5, and 11. Tatum was pretty strong. Marcus Morris, piss poor. He is a clear drop in 12s and probably 14 team leagues, while Al Horford only needed the 22 minutes, 5, 4, and 4, because this was such a blowout. For the Warriors, Klay Thompson was out, so Alfonso McKinney started. He didn't do much, but DeMarcus Cousins also was pretty piss poor. 10 and 9 in his 25 minutes, but as I said, everyone's minutes, everyone's production really reduced right across the board just because of how much of a smacking this was and how much of a smacking it was early in proceedings. Let's move on now to talk some DFS across the league. We'll start by looking at the action or the perfect lineups from Tuesday's games. On DraftKings, we had Conley and DeLon Wright, Toby Harris, Gordon Hayward, Miles Turner, Jeff Teague, Serge Ibaka, and Karl Anthony Towns. That totaled 388.75 for 49,700. And on FanDuel, Conley, Teague, Wright, Austin Rivers, Bojan Bogdanovic, Gordon Hayward, Toby Harris, Serge Ibaka, Karl Anthony Towns, and that was 384.2 points, and it cost $58,200. All right, guys, let's look at DFS for Wednesday. We've got 10 games on, quite a busy slate across the NBA. We're going to be focusing on DraftKings pricing mainly today. The first game we look at, the Dallas Mavericks traveling to take on the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are 5.5-point favorites. The total 231.5 here. The Mavericks have lost the last two games by a combined 69 points.
Giggity!
So they'll be looking to get back in business here against the Wizards. Not that it's necessarily going to be easy because they have, of course, got a pretty bare-bones lineup, the old Dallas Mavericks. At point guard, the burner, Jalen Brunson, 3,800. Only 20 minutes last game, but prior to that, he had been averaging 23 points in 27 minutes over his last three contests, and at sub 4,000, he is worth a GPP look. He could easily put up a 12-5 sort of a line with two steals, which would give you 25, 26 points. And the value there would be okay. In fact, just a couple of games ago, he had a 42-point performance. So there's some GPP value in him. On the flip side, Tomas Satoransky, I think he's a limited tournament player, but a strong cash floor guy at that $5,200 price point for the Wizards. While Luka Doncic is up at 9,100, maybe just a little bit high for Doncic. His numbers have been marginally suppressed. The shot's sort of falling off for Doncic at the moment. I wouldn't want to spend $9,100 on him. For the shooting guards, Timmy Hardaway at 4,800, been a disaster of late, averaging just 21 over the last three. Always got that ability to have a 50 or 55, 60 even point upside game. Hasn't really managed it this season, but in the past he has. I think it's probably unlikely, but if you're going to include him, it would just be for tournaments. While Brad Beal's crushing at 9,800, that's not enough for him to be eliminated, I don't think. I think he's easily a 50-point guy and probably a 55-point guy who's playing big minutes almost every single night. Troy Brown, at minimum salary, he's playing. He's averaging 17 over the last three, which at $3,000, it's not a horrible investment. It's not the best one, but he has played himself into more minutes of late. So just a name, I guess, to just keep in mind, but probably not a play. Trevor Ariza at 5,900, there are better ways to spend that. Jabari Parker was good last game, and at 5,100, I think he is a pretty decent tournament player, averaging over 32 points in his last three encounters. For the big men, Dirk's at 3,300, probably not massive upside, but I think his cash floor is okay. Outside of last game, he'd hit his floor almost every game, so that gives him some value. Punch Bob at $6,000, really inconsistent, so I only like him for tournaments, while Dwight Powell at 5,900, the big minutes are there for Dwight, the big performances are there. He's averaging almost 35 over the last five, really like him as a cash play despite a $700 price rise. Kleber, Bryant, Jeff Green, I'm not really seeing much value in any of those guys. Over on the old FanDuel, Beal at 10.5 looks pretty good. And I like Tomas Satoransky as well over at on FanDuel as well. All right, the next game we take a look at, the Minnesota Timberwolves on a back-to-back taking on the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons 5.5-point favorites, the total 224. The Pistons currently own the Eastern Conference's longest winning streak, that is at two games, so they'll be looking to extend that to help cement themselves into the playoffs. Zaza Pachulia is doubtful. He's dealing with an Achilles issue, so he's unlikely to play. Luol Deng missed the last couple for the Wolves. Well, I don't expect Robert Covington to return, but I think he should be back by the weekend for the Timberwolves. There is an outside chance he plays here, but I think it is pretty unlikely that we see him in action. at point guard Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He's at 5,300, has really struggled the last couple of games to get into that rhythm, but at that sort of a salary, he is worth a tournament look. It bears mentioning that the Pistons are really good at limiting opposition point guard production, so he's not a strong cash guy, but that salary is low enough to consider him. While Reggie Jackson at 54, consistently beating that number, averaging 30 over the last three. It's a positive matchup for Jackson here against a Wolves team on a back-to-back. I actually like him quite a bit. Ish Smith, Tyus Jones, Langston Galloway, not for me, but Derek Rose at 5,300. At the way he's playing at the moment, still battling that ankle problem, I'm not super into him as a DFS play. At shooting guard, the Duck Luke Kennard's at 4,700. He's playing minutes, he goes from 30 to 24 to 30 to 24. He played 30 last game, so does that mean he's down to a low 20s role here? I don't necessarily think so, but I wouldn't be surprised if Casey does that. But I like his salary. I like his production. He's averaging 30 over the last five is the Duck, and there's value in him. The Duke Wayne Ellington's at 39. He's giving us 20 a night as well, which at 3,900 is okay, but I'm not super into him for really either format. While Andy Wiggins at 5,900, probably a tournament guy, but again, the Pistons are pretty good at limiting opposition wing players as well as point guards. For the shooting guard types, not many others we need to talk about there. Then small forwards, a bunch of nothing. Luol Deng, Glenn Robinson, Anthony Tolliver. The big men is where it's at. We've got Andre Drummond at 9,000, who's averaging 46 the last three times out against Minnesota. I think he's a strong play, as is Blake Griffin at 8,600. Both of those guys have been a little bit muted in their last couple of games, but I'd expect some decent performances from them. While Karl Anthony Towns has been anything but muted, 10,800 for Townsie. He's averaging 65 over his last three, and since returning from his car accident-induced concussion, he has been absolutely dominating. I think another 55 or 60-point performance from Towns is absolutely an option here for him. On FanDuel, Griffin at 85, I really like that price. I like Towns at 11.5 as well. Reggie Jackson at 58 is strong. I think Drummond at 10 is probably a little bit too high. Kennard at 53, also probably a little bit too elevated. But Derek Rose at 55, a much better FanDuel play than he is on DraftKings. Next up, the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are 3-point favorites. The total 219.5. Both of these teams battling for those playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. Hassan Whiteside returned last game for the Heat, but he came off the bench. Will that happen again here, or will we get Bam Adebayo remaining in the starting lineup?
Bam! 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 Bam!
Let's look at the point guards. Oh, Goran Dragic is the other one we need to check on here for this game here. Actually, he's been ruled out, sorry. Got to get that info up to date for you guys. So he's been ruled out. Dwayne Wade is a point guard, listed player, 5,500. I like what Wade's doing. Solid floor, was excellent last game as well. While Kemba Walker at 8,300 on DraftKings. Yeah, a 50-point performance shouldn't be a crazy expectation for Kemba. So I do like him here. While Justice Winslow actually putting up some really strong numbers with a strong floor and with Dragic out again, I think 6,300 for Justice Winslow is absolutely worth looking at. For the shooting guards, Jeremy Lamb at 5,200, one of the best plays on the board, I think. He's absolutely killing it in that bench role, 30 a night, almost without any difficulties at all. Really like him here, while Batum at 5,300 is also doing well with Lamb moved into that second unit. So both of those guys, I think, have got really strong value. Deion Waiters, you never feel great about his floor, while Scooter Magruder and Joshy Richardson, probably guys that I'm not super into here. Marvin Williams is a small forward for whatever reason. He's at 4,400. Has been a little bit underperforming, but he does have 30-point upside, 35-point upside, which isn't bad at 4,400. I'm just not super into him, while Miles Bridges is starting and doing absolutely nothing with those minutes. The big man, Frank the Tank Kaminsky, 3,200. Out of nowhere, he's playing big minutes. He had 27 points in 28 minutes last game, and at 3,200 for Frank, I think that you look at him and think, well, he can give me 18 or 19 points, and that's value right there. So I think he's got some play here. While Hassan Whiteside, we know that centers against the Hornets have been putting up big numbers of late, and he is absolutely worth a look here, only for a tournament, though, because we don't know if he's going to start. We don't know if he's going to play 20 minutes. We don't know if he's going to play 27. If he plays 27, he smashes that price. You can't use him in cash. Cody Zeller's minutes have been reduced the last couple at 5,500. I'm not really going to get too much into him. While Kelly Olynyk at 5,200, only 24 minutes last game. There was some foul trouble. And encouragingly for Olynyk's future performances, even in foul trouble, we saw Jim Johnson play exactly 0 minutes. So I think we could see Olynyk push back to high 20s in minutes here, and he could be an interesting option, averaging 35 over the last five games. Adebayo and Biyombo, they're not really guys that I'm super into. Here, old Biyombo, of course, I wouldn't be super into him really in any sort of format. On FanDuel, Kaminsky at 3,700, still got that value. Marvin Williams at 54, yeah, probably not. I like Jeremy Lamb and Whiteside, really fueled by that matchup situation, but the minutes are the real concern with him. Olynyk at 55, I also think comes in relatively strong in this matchup against the Hornets. The next game that we're going to take a look at is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets are 8.5-point favorites, and the total 225.5. The Nets switched up their lineup last game, putting Caris LeVert to the bench with Alan Crabb starting ahead of him. I imagine they'll go back to that lineup again, and with Trevion Graham doubtful once more, that Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs will get another start at power forward. For the point guards, D'Angelo Russell's at 7,900. He is averaging 47 the last three times against Cleveland. He's been a little bit up and down of late, but I love him for tournaments, but that's about it. Dinwiddie's at 5,300. Not huge upside, I don't think, for Spence, but at that sort of a salary, there is some cash value in him. While LeVert at 54 had his best game since returning from his ankle injury, 34 points off the bench in 27 minutes. Not a terrible option, but also I don't think that he is the best option out there. Clarkson, Dellavedova, Brandon Knight, Colin Sexton, I'm not really feeling any of those guys. Smokin' Joe Harris is at 4,300. An excellent record against his former team, averaging 37 the last three times against Cleveland. I think he is a strong GPP guy, but not much else. Alan Crabb, you can keep him. At small forward, Damari Carroll, excellent last time out against Dallas, 36 points in 22 minutes. And while that's not going to happen again, his sub 4,000 price, 3,900, does give me, I guess, an ability to at least look at him or consider him for tournaments, and I think he should be at least in the tournament pool mix. While Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs had 33 at 3,500, that is absolutely interesting. We saw a big game from him last time out against Dallas, but we've also seen him in a starting role many, many times this season, and he's far from being consistent, so more of a tournament guy. I'd probably actually prefer Carroll over him. Chetty Osman, 5,500, really love what he does next to Kevin Love, and at 5,500, I think there is cash value in Osman here. For the big man, Love is at 7,500. Minutes are still relatively limited, but I don't really care because he's averaging 41 over the last five, and at 7,500, if you give me 40, that is plenty of value, and we know big men against the Nets have done well pretty much all season, and I don't expect this to be all that different for Love. Larry Nance at 59 should get another start with Ante Zizic out and Tristan Thompson out again. 59 for Nance. Struggled a little bit last game, but I think there is some upside again. Playing the Nets does help him there. And then you've got Jarrett Allen, who is really struggling at the moment. At 4,700, he would be a very interesting GPP guy, but that is literally it. You cannot have any trust in what Jarrett Allen does in any cash format. On FanDuel, it's Nance and Russell, who probably more look to be tournament guys, although Nance at 56 in a very positive matchup works. Marquise Chris and Ed Davis, some other cheap guys who have a little bit of upside, but realistically, I think we only look at them at tournament guys. While Smokin' Joe Harris, I think he can be a cash play on FanDuel at 4,700, even though his last few games have not been encouraging. I do think that against this Cleveland team, he can bounce back with a big one. The Spurs and the Hawks, no spread or total at this point. Taurean Prince is likely to return, but the Undertaker Dwayne Dedman is doubtful, and the Baptist John Collins is questionable, opening up a shit ton of minutes in that front court for the Hawks. For the Spurs, Jakob Poeltl is questionable. I imagine if he is out, that we'll get a lot more Rudy Gay, a lot more Davis Bertans, and the Spurs will go small. Alex Len looks to be a great option here, with Dedman unlikely to play and Collins questionable. At point guard, Trae Young's at 8,800. A nice $500 price drop for Trey because he only had 28 points last game. I'd be happy to get back on the Young bandwagon. While Derek White at 5,400, really, really underpriced. A massively positive matchup for Derek as well. He's averaging 36 in the last three, and at 5,400, love him. Absolutely love this opportunity for Derek White. Mills, Forbes, they're not going to do it for me. Kevin Huerter, old fan of pants, 4,100. really just a tournament guy at this point. Ballinelli, Bembry, DeMar DeRozan, not really interested in many of those guys. DeRozan, of course, has some value as a 40-point floor type of a player in what is a positive matchup, while with Prince back, Bazemore's value disappears. As for the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince, 4,500 for him. We can talk about his struggles, and he has struggled. He's still averaging 30 over the last three games, and at 4,500, you give me 30, then I will very, very, very much be interested in looking at that again, and that's exactly where we are. While Rudy Gay at 6,000, 38 points last game, with an opportunity to slide back into the starting lineup if Poeltl is out. I think we only look at him if we do hear that Poeltl is silent. Otherwise, Gay is more of a tournament guy. Lens at 4,500, he is going to be the absolute chalkiest lock play across the entire slate. Despite shitting the bed last game, the absence of Dedmon and the potential absence of Collins are going to open it up. I like him there, while the Baptist himself, if he does play at 7,000, I'd be looking to smash the shit out of that. Poeltl's at 43, not really interested, while LaMarcus Aldridge at 7,600, I think he exceeds 40 points, and he can do it relatively comfortably. On FanDuel, Len and Trae Young come in really, really strong, I think. I like Prince at 5,000. I like Collins a bit at 8,000. Aldridge at 82. And Derek White still having value at 6,700. Next game, we take a look at the Philadelphia 76ers, the Chicago Bulls, both of these teams on a back-to-back. The Sixers are 5-point favorites, and the total is 227.5. The Bulls have been relatively pesky of late. The Sixers are going to be without Joel Embiid again. It remains to be seen whether Jonah Bolden will play. He missed Tuesday's action, and they had to start Amir Johnson, who played through his own injury complaint. At point guard, Benny Simmons, 8,900. This guy is averaging 52 over the last five. It's the Bulls. I don't see how they're going to match up with Simmons. I really like him quite a bit here. While Chris Dunn has been shitful, no doubt about that, but 5,200. He's still, even in the shit games, giving us 25 or so points. So that gives him some value, and I don't really think he's losing a ton of minutes. Levine's at 7,500. Really do like him as well. TJ McConnell, probably not. JJ Redick really bounced back today after a few struggles. 5,900. Love this matchup for JJ. Well, Johnny Simmons at 3,000. Played Jim Ennis entirely out of the rotation. Did nothing. 17 points in 27 minutes. But at minimum salary against a shitful team like the Bulls, maybe Simmons is a GPP guy. But my disdain for his fantasy game is pretty high. General soreness, Jimmy Butler at 7,300. Did very, very little. But against his former team, he averages 63 points. As a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, of course, he would be an interesting tournament guy because of the Bulls' lack of defensive ability on those wing positions, and Zach LaVine will have very little chance of going up against Jim. I think that he, at 73, again, is just that tournament sort of a guy with how understated his offensive performances have been. Otto Porter's at 6,300. Didn't really live up to that in today's game, but prior to that had been killing it. It is a tough matchup here for Otto with Toby Harris and Jim Butler going to have opportunities to guard him. I think that he is okay for cash with a limited upside. While Prison Mike's at 4,500, didn't really do what we wanted him to do today. And if Bolden returns, that takes a lot of his value away. Toby Harris really benefiting from Embiid's absence. 7,700. I like him quite a bit for cash. At center, Lauri Markkanen, or the big men in general, center and power forward. Markkanen's at 8,000. A curiously poor performance from him on Tuesday. I expect a bounce back with a 40-point performance. I like him a lot. While Robin Lopez dropped 39 in Tuesday's action. And I think at $5,000, you look at him as a pretty strong cash option. While Jonah Bolden, if he plays, is that tournament guy. On FanDuel, not a lot that massively stands out. I think Simmons is probably your best bet. You could look at Butler if you just want to really buy into that revenge game narrative. Redick at 57 is probably just a little bit too high. And the 8,000 for Toby Harris also comes in pretty strong over on the old FanDuel. Next game, we look at the Utah Jazz traveling to take on the New Orleans Pelicans. The Jazz are favored by 4. They need to rebound after some disappointing games recently, one of those against the Pelicans. The total, 231.5 here. Jahlil Okafor missed last game for the Pelicans. He's questionable here with that ankle issue. Of course, Anthony Davis will play his 21 minutes or so. At point guard, Lord Alfred Payton, 5,400. Really love the floor. His lowest score in his last five has been 27, so that's strong for cash with a bit of tournament value there as well. Well, ravishing Rick Rubio. been limited the last couple of games with a hamstring, but his record against New Orleans makes us want to look at it, averaging 45 the last three times against the Pelicans. I think he is a guy you throw into a tournament. Well, Jrue Holiday, just his lowest score in his last five games has been 42 points. That is a monster, monster floor, and it's sub 8,000. He's at 7,800. I love Jrue Holiday in this matchup. While the Don, Donovan Mitchell,
is Don, is good.
He is at 8,700. I would restrict that to tournaments. It feels a little bit too high. Kyle Korver also getting a shit ton of minutes at the moment. He is at 3,400 and averaging 27 over the last three. Now, for cash, I don't think we can rely upon it, but a couple of big scoring outbursts coupled with big minutes for Korver, it does at least give him a skerrick of tournament value. Jingle and Joe at 59, also been relatively strong. His last game was his worst of his last five, and that was still a 27-point performance. So 30 for him is not too much of a stretch. Kenrick Williams has been disappointing, but his salary is down to 4,000, and that at least gives me some hope in him. The minutes are relatively okay, high 20s, low 30s. He had 25 points last game. I think he's at least worth looking at. Well, Jay Crowder at 4,700 had a really big performance last game, 35 points, but utilizing him realistically has to just be for tournaments. Gobert's at 8,100. Yeah, I like him here. I think there's another opportunity for 50. I think that he's a good play. Tone Davis all the way down at 6,700. Well, last game he had 47 points in 22 minutes. He's averaging 39 over the last five in 21 minutes. And at 6,700 in a positive matchup, I think you've got to consider him. Now, will they pull? They could always pull a shifty and throw him out due to illness or bullshit injuries or whatever, but that hasn't really been the case. There was that illness scare the other day, but then he played through it. At 6,700, Davis, it does give you appeal, but I think in most cases, I'd probably want to just fade away because of the uncertainty of any sort of bullshit that might actually occur with Davis. Randall's at 84. He is constantly giving us those numbers, so I'm big on him. Diallo and Favors, probably not going to look at either of those guys too closely. On FanDuel, Kenrick Williams again at 52. Not a bad cash play. Love Jrue at 87. I think Payton at 64 has got some appeal. And Davis at 8,000. I think that's too high to really take that risk with him. Yeah, he's been crushing it. We know that. I think that's probably a bit high. And the 10,200 for Gobert, it is a positive for him. I still think that's too high of a price at 10,200. The floor is just not quite there, I don't think, at that sort of a salary. But for tournaments, there is some upside. But is the upside actually high enough to roster him? That's a long way of me just saying I don't think so with Rudy Gobert. Next game up, the New York Knicks and the Phoenix Suns. The Suns 3.5-point favorites, and the total 225.5. DeAndre Jordan likely to return in this game. David Fizdale likely to pull some sort of nonsense with his lineups, and his inconsistency in literally anything he does or says continues to be a frustrating point of view. He says he's committed to starting Kevin Knox because he's got to play through his difficulties, but his other prized rookie, Mitchell Robinson, he doesn't want him to play through any of his difficulties at all, so he won't start him. He wants to keep him on the bench because he doesn't want him to have to fight through adversity if he gets into foul trouble as a starter. You work it out, because I literally can't. At point guard, Devin Booker's 8,100. Yeah, look, I think he's getting you high 30s, low 40s, almost no matter what. So that's a strong cash play with good tournament upside. While Alonzo Trier, he is better than Luka Doncic, and he's at 4,500. 32-point average over the last three, a 45-pointer last game. We literally can't trust anything with his minutes or playing time, but I do like the GPP upside. While Tyler Johnson at 5,200. Strong game from TJ last time out, but again, I don't really see the huge upside with him. Smith and Moutier, not going to get too interested in those blokes. At shooting guard, I love the fact that Mikal Bridges is all the way down to 3,800. He's still giving us low 20s, 23, 24 points a game, and at 3,800, that's plenty of value. He gets 26 or 27, then he smashes through it, so I like him here. Damo Dotson, a similar boat to Trier, a nice GPP option at that $4,400 price point, while Kelly Oubre is at $6,200. This is a great matchup for Oubre. He's coming off a 54-point game where he had 17 free throw attempts against the Bucks. Could really wreak some havoc here against the Knicks. I like him for cash, but I particularly like him for tournaments. At small forward, I think we can fade Kevin Knox pretty aggressively, while Joshy Jackson's at $4,400. A good matchup for Jackson because the Knicks are trash. He is definitely not someone we want to rely upon for tournaments, Jackson. He is a little bit hit or miss. For the big men, Ayton's at 7,400. Let's go with him, really on a strong run of form. Yeah, should be looking at 40-plus pretty regularly. While Mitchie Robinson at 6,400, the DeAndre Jordan specter does loom over him and what he's going to do with his minutes. I still think he's a strong GPP option, but probably for cash at that salary, he'd be one to fade away. While Jordan's an interesting one. At $6,000, his last game before his injury, he had 46 points. He did play 33 minutes as well. I don't expect him to play that much here. I think he's probably one that I would lean away from. Well, Luke Kornet started last game, so that means he's probably going to be playing for Westchester in this one. Him and Henry Allinson and Noah Vonleh, really hard to get a full grasp on them. Vonleh's been interesting, averaging 33 over the last three, and at 4,600, if you knew you get that sort of production or playing time, you'd roster him. But of course, you don't know that. And with Jordan coming back, Jordan will start. And does that push Vonleh into a starting power forward spot, a backup power forward spot? I've got absolutely no way of being able to tell you that. So he is a GPP guy at best. On FanDuel, Dotson's at 43. I like the upside for him. I like Bridges. I like Ayton. I like Booker. I think Robinson's probably a little bit too high at 7,300, while Tyler Johnson at FanDuel at 54 is a relatively good option. The Boston Celtics and the Sacramento Kings. The Celtics on a back-to-back after taking on the Warriors on Tuesday. At the moment, this spread is even. The total is 229. Both these teams need these victories, especially the Kings, if they're to stay anywhere close to playoff contention. At point guard, I like Kyrie at 9,300. A really strong, positive matchup for Irving, who should be able to produce at least a 40-point floor, which is pretty good. While De'Aaron Foxy Fox at 7,100, that's a very low price for Fox. The Celtics are good at defending opposition point guards, but because it's a back-to-back, I think that gives Fox a bit of a leg up. Marcus Smart's at 48. He's been playing relatively well over the last week or so. Yeah, some value in him, but not a must-roster guy. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 5,700. A bit of a turd from him last game, but prior to that had been a 30-point guy relatively frequently. I think that he is more of a tournament guy than a cash player. Jaylen Brown, not really interested, but Bud Hield, I am. 7,200 for Bud. He's giving us 45 a night. Sign me up into it. At small forward, Marcus Morris, no. Gordon Hayward, that's going to be a no. Tatum, the pencil. There's a bunch of small forwards that I just don't like for DFS in this game. For the big man, Harry Gilesy Giles, 4,300. 28 points over the last three in 19 minutes. Ejected last game on his way to a big performance. I like Giles at that salary, especially for GPPs, while Horford's at 6,400, and probably one that I would fade away here on a back-to-back, while Cauley Stein at 58, only 26 minutes last game, but had 29 points. I think he's more of a tournament play against the Celtics team that is quite good at defending opposition big men. On FanDuel, I like Irving, I like Bogdanovic, I like Giles. Horford at 71, probably more of a tournament play. The last game of the day, the Denver Nuggets and the LA Lakers. Kyle Kuzma is out. There's no spread or total. Brandon Ingram, Tyson Chandler, Lance Stephenson at this point are all questionable. I would imagine that all of them play, but we just don't know at this stage. With Kuzma out, I imagine that we get Reggie Bullock back into the starting lineup alongside McGee and LeBron and Ingram and Rondo. That's if Ingram plays. At point guard, Rondo's at $6,000. He's putting up some really good numbers at the moment. I like him quite a bit here. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, also, I think, a really strong floor play in a really positive matchup. We know that the Lakers hate him, and he has played relatively strongly against them, so that's a good option there. Well, Ingram, who'd been really thriving before that shoulder injury, at 6,800, I actually think he's going to be worth looking at. He'd been playing pretty well, and I think he does play in this game. At shooting guard, the hitman, Josh Hart, 3,300, sort of got back on track last game. With Kuzma out, they're going to need to rely upon Hart a lot more. At 3,300 with 30-point upside, yeah, I think you have to look at him as a nice buffer play. Gaz Harris at 39.
Nice, Gary!
It's so low for Gary Harris. His production's been terrible, but I would still be having him in my tournament pools. Fart and Will Barton, again, more of a tournament guy as well. On the wings, LeBron James, 11,300. Yeah, I think that's a really strong cash option. He averages 56 the last three times against Denver. I say it every game, this is a must-win for the Lakers. They're pretty much cooked, but I think we're still going to see big performances from LeBron. And for the big men, McGee's at 3,700. I think with Kuzma out, who was their starting small ball five, McGee should be able to hopefully push towards 20 minutes here and put up 20 points, which is enough value there. While Nikola Jokic at 10,600, lowest score in his last five has been 42. foul trouble limited him a couple of games ago. I'd still think that he's a 50-point option, especially against his Lakers team, who lets opposition centers generally run pretty wild. Paulie Millsap and Mason Plumlee, not super interested in those guys. On FanDuel, McGee at 43 has got that value. Harris as a GPP guy, maybe. I like Jokic at 10-9. I like James at 12-7, although that's probably pushing a little bit to the high side. And the 7,500 for Rondo is a big, big price jump, and that does take away a lot of his value. I think the 7,000 for Jamal Murray is probably a better option than that one of Rajon Rondo. Let's look at some studs and values. On DraftKings, Beal is my stud of the day. My value play is Jeremy Lamb. On FanDuel, I'm going with Beal as well, and my value is Alex Len. On Yahoo, my stud is Trey Young, and my value is Harry Giles. And on DraftStars, my stud is Kyrie, and my value is Kenrick Williams. That'll wrap it up for today's show, guys. Make sure you are playing your favorite Locked On podcast show in your car. And the best way to do that, tell your smart device, hey, play the podcast Locked On and insert the team name there. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and the network at Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and on Instagram. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Hazonia.